Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of Dot Game. In this episode, I'm gonna do something a little bit different. So instead of kind of continuing down the next path, I think I was gonna build out the equipment system. I wanted to take a step back and go over the last challenge that I issued and show kind of how I solved it. And the reason behind this is just because I ended up doing it in a way where I hooked into the event system via code, in particular the I think it's like point or click, we'll look at it in a second, but I hooked into that and it wasn't something that we had talked about, so I actually thought that it would make a pretty interesting episode. So we're gonna go over what I did. As a refresher, the challenge in the last episode, we had the inventory screen, which I'll show you here. So we had set up this inventory and worked with the store merchant so that we could buy items. But what we didn't have was a way to sell the items back or to destroy them. And that was ultimately what the challenge was. So that's what we're gonna go over in this episode. I don't think I actually changed any of the core project. I didn't do any mass refactorings or anything along those lines. The only thing I did do was a very weak attempt at some icons. So the question mark was driving me crazy in terms of being able to kind of debug and tell what was moving back and forth. So very quickly went onto a site. It'll be in the resources of the project, but they have a way for you to kind of generate game icons. And so I just generated a few so that it looked a little different. I know they're not beautiful, but bear with me. They'll work for the purpose of this project. And hopefully at some point I'll go back and fix them up. Okay, so let's, I guess, go ahead and get started. Now the first thing that I wanted to do was, actually let me push play, was have a way so that when you right clicked on any of these icons in the bag, it was able to detect and then take some sort of action based off of that. So the way that I chose to do this was I created a new class, or script as it were, and I'm actually going to call this item controller. I could probably be a little bit more specific. And so I'm going to let it still inherit from mono behavior because I want to have this attached to a game object in the scene. And mono behavior is required for you to be able to do that. But the other thing that I want to do is implement iPointer. Oh, actually, I need to do using Unity engine dot, I think it's, event systems, there it is. So iPointer, you can see there's a few of these. I'll talk about them here, some of them in a moment. I wanna show you first. And we're gonna implement the interface. We're actually gonna drop the start and update. I don't think that we'll end up doing, actually we will do something with start. Basically what iPoint click handler does is it gives you on point click, and then it actually gives you, or on pointer click, excuse me, but it gives you some event data, and that event data is what we're going to use to tell a few things. One, did they right click or left click? So if they left clicked, maybe we want a different action item, but if they right clicked and the store UI is open, then you know, we'll assume that they're trying to sell the item to the merchant. So we'll be able to access exactly what they did or what the event system picked up via the event data. We can actually do this pretty easily. So what we'll first do is if event data dot button is equal to, and you can see we can do input button left, middle, or right. We're gonna check for right. We'll do debug.log, the right button was clicked. Okay, get rid of that. All right, so let's see how this works. And then, like I said, we'll kind of build it out more and I'll talk a little bit more about this event system. Where am I looking? What did I call that? Item controller? It's not there for some reason. Oh, forgot, when you rename it this way, you have to make sure to rename your class so that it matches. And then we have scripts. So if I take a look, I should have pulled it in. Item controller, drag and drop. Now, every one of our, so what I did is I just added it to that prefab. So every time this goes to get created, they'll automatically have the item controller on them. And then if I left click, nothing happens. If I right click, we can see the right mouse button was clicked. So we can already tell that we're detecting the right click event. The other cool thing that you can do with this, so let's say that you want to know, did the user double click? Event data, times clicked. Event data has this notion of how many times it registered a click. So if you go event data dot, I think it's, click count. We can see. So I'm going to push play. I'm actually going to bring this open a little bit more. And get rid of collapse. So if I right click once and I let go, so I didn't do anything, I click again, it's doing that. I start to rapidly click and it's picking up that. So it can tell that I paused for a split second there, but it basically registered 12 clicks during that time. And then the second that I paused, it reset it to one. So in theory, we could tell pretty quickly if somebody double clicked. So that's another really good mechanism for doing it. And you, I recommend that you kind of take a look because event data has got all sorts of interesting stuff that's going on. So the click time is another good one, and then a few others. So I'll link to the event data so you can kind of explore on your own and see what's there. But the cool thing to kind of note with this is the event system actually has about, I think it's, I want to say it's like 17, 18, somewhere in there, supported events that you can essentially implement and then customize. So we're doing on pointer click, which helps with this, but they also have like on pointer enter and exit, so you can kind of tell when the mouse goes in and out of an item. Ones that we'll actually probably take a look at in another episode is dragging events. So you can do begin drag, on drag, end drag, and then on drop. So that we can use to kind of detect as a drag is happening, maybe where it landed, and then switch the objects. So that'd be good as we're like, oh, you know, maybe we want to drag and drop the equipment onto something, or drag and drop even into our store merchant is another way to go and do that. And then you can hook into like your typical stuff, a submit or a cancel, and do custom things as part of that. So I kind of have a link to, I'll link to the event data and then a list of the different things that you can, the different interfaces that you can work with. So you can kind of explore a little bit on your own. Okay, so back to kind of the problem or really the task at hand. For the item controller, there's a few things that I want it to have. So I want to reference or keep a reference of the item details that this particular item represents in the bag. The next thing I want to do is I want to have a reference to the player inventory. It's actually player inventory UI controller. The inventory controller. There we go. And this all kind of makes sense a little bit more as we start to build the project out. And then the last thing that I want to do is I want to track whether or not this has an item. And the main reason behind this is as we start to develop and build this out, you'll actually see the bug. I think we'll end up hitting it with the flow that I have. But as we kind of build it out and we start to sell back something, the way that we've written our original code was the position of it in the bag along with the position of it in the overall, the backend list or that scriptable object that we work at was presumed to always be in the same position. And so if we sell this third object, what we'll have is a mismatch of the list item. So we really just need to track, hey, are we representing something in here before we do something? So that's where this guy comes into play. And then we also want to store a reference to the store UI. And that's because we're going to do a check to see like, oh, you know, hey, if we're right clicking and the store UI is open, then we assume we want to sell. So we need to be able to check to see if that's active. I was wrong in that we do, we do want to do something with start. So we actually want to get the store UI and populate this. So game object, we're going to do one find, user interface, I think this is canvas, hopefully it's spelled that right, transform. So we're just getting the store child. Okay. Let's double check to make sure that I spelled this right. I don't have any weird bugs. Okay. So we're just getting our reference so that we can interact with it. And then our check here is actually more, we already demonstrated that this works. So we can do a store, oops. Ugh, I hate this mouse. Store UI dot, what is it? I think it's active self. So if we've clicked the right mouse button and the store UI is visible, then do this. Let's see, and then we're gonna create a couple helper methods. So we're gonna operate that when this first gets, when an item first gets assigned to this particular slot, we wanna store the data, right? We wanna store the item details, we wanna get a reference of the player inventory controller. We can just use this as a means to kind of pass that in. And then we want to turn on the has item. So we can do that, oops, pretty easily with this method. So we'll do item, item, and then player inventory UI controller, player controller. So we'll just define these methods. And then we'll do item details. What do I call this? P inventory. Inventory controller. And then we'll do has item is equal to true. And then the last helper method that we're going to do is just to clear the item data. Okay. So this is basically, you know, maybe we've sold it or we've destroyed it, whatever. We need a way to kind of clear everything out. So I think that's kind of it for the start of this class. So this kind of sets that foundation. We'll start to interact with it here. And the first way that we can do that, let's see, store UI controller. So we want to kind of manipulate the store UI controller. We want to basically have a method that says, or a way to say, hey, we're selling it. So when the actual, we've captured the right click, so the user said, hey, I want to sell you back, to the merchant, at that point we need to tell the store UI to do something. We basically need to add, we need to deduct the item from the player's inventory and then add that back to the merchant and then do a transaction where the merchant pays the person. And the other criteria with this challenge was to basically take in that sale price reduction. So we kind of talked about that way back. But we added this in the item scriptable object, this notion of sell price reduction. So again, to kind of recap, typically in games you'll see, I think you'll see really more that the person or the player will have a reputation with a faction or a merchant, and the sell price reduction will be based more off of like your relationship with the merchant and a little bit less off of the item level itself. But the approach that we ended up taking was instead of having that relationship or managing anything quite so complex in our game, our items just have the notion of a sell price reduction. And so this challenge was to take in into account when you're selling back, you're not just getting the raw value of the price, which we did when we purchased, but you're also calculating in the sell price reduction. So we can actually, we can actually go ahead and change this right now here, because we need a factor and we need a way to basically say, give me either the purchase price, like the raw purchase price, or give me the purchase price minus the sell price reduction. So basically what the merchant is willing to pay for it. So we can use the same method that we did before, the purchase price in copper, and we can just add a Boolean that we supply. So apply sell price reduction to it. And before we return, we can basically do copper coins. Equals apply sell price reduction. So we're just going to do an inline statement here. So if you're not familiar, it's you check kind of the value to check, and then This is if it's true, and then the next section will be if it's false. So if true, so if we do want the reduction, we do copper coins minus, and we'll go, we have to cast this to an int, and we'll do copper coins times sell price reduction times our, say, 10% in this case. And then that gives us our total. If it's false, so if we don't want to do that, we'll just set it back to copper coins, and then we return. We probably merge that, but that's okay. So we can also do, just so we see, we'll do copper coin before reduction. Oop, copper coins. Okay. So of course this is kind of assuming that we're doing the reduction, but we'll see for any of the calls. At least we have a little method. So now we kind of need a way. We've set up the groundwork. We'll interact with this. We probably broke a few things, I would assume we did. Let's go ahead and fix this. So everywhere that we broke, we know we don't want to do the reduction. So we'll just add false to those spots. And then, so store UI controller, we need to do a few things. Because we need to maintain, so when we wrote this, this populate inventory method originally, we only had one way to populate the inventory. It was only when the screen was being opened would we do it. We didn't really have this notion of, you know, the screen could be open and you've sold something, so you need to refresh that inventory at the time. So we need to do just a little bit of refactoring to make this work. And the first thing is we can create a new method for the area of code that we're going to reuse. So we're essentially going to reuse, I think I'm in the right spot. Your inventory local scale. Yeah, I think it's actually, yeah, it's all of this. So all of this is going to happen either A, the first time we open the screen, or B, if somebody sells something back. So we can pull it out and we'll go public void. I don't even know if we need to be public on this, but we'll see. But we'll create a new method. We're just going to pull it all into here. And then we'll go create inventory item, and then we're just going to pass in item and call it there. And then that should be good. So now we'll be able to reuse this and still have it behave the same way. And let's just double check, I guess, that it is doing it. Oops, I broke something. There we go. I was like, wait, why isn't it going? I hit it twice. That would be why. Ooh, panic attack. Okay, so we can see that our stuff is at least still populating on the UI, so we haven't broken anything. It's always a good thing. Okay, so we've done... Wrong one. There we are. So we've created our new method, and then under populate inventory, we've added it. So we're good there. And then I think... We're going to want to add a new method, a little populate inventory, create inventory item. I guess we'll just add it here. So the new one is purchase item. So this is a purchase for the store. Item purchased. We did one before, but that was on the inventory side of it. So player inventory UI. Which we had a reference to. We're going to create a new method, but we haven't done this yet, so we'll just set up the definition for it and we'll leave it here. Merchant inventory. The other thing that we need to do is the flow of this is basically we've wanted to purchase, we right-click, now that right-click is going to send a call to the store UI and call purchase item. So it's going to pass in itself as the item or its reference of the item, and that item is going to get added to the merchant's inventory. So that same transaction that we did in the last episode, just slightly reversed. And then item purchased. And then the last thing we want to do is display this on the UI. So we'll do create inventory item, and then again, pass in item purchased. And that'll do it. So let's just do this. Oops, wrong button. Player inventory UI controller. So we'll go ahead and create the method that I was just describing. So we're going to do something similar where we need to also move some logic in here. Where is my logic? So before we had scroll view content. This one's going to be a little more tricky to view. Oh, that's right. In this one, we were just adding a reference to the item image. So we were basically looping through the inventory items on the list. And then we were, because we had written it originally where the index of the inventory item always matched the index of the bag slot, we were just kind of passing that through. And you'll see the behavior that I'm describing. I want to show it to you. So it'll make sense here in a moment. But basically what we need to do is we need to create a new method. Close these guys. Am I doing this in start? I was. Okay. So we'll do it under update. We'll do create inventory item. So for now, we're going to stay in line with the same behavior that we have built out. So we're going to still pass an index around, essentially. And then I think we'll do this. And the other thing I wanted to do, scroll view content, get child, is wanted to change the name. Actually, I think we can just do, we don't need that, I went too far. Just do name equals player inventory details. So I wanted to just set the name of the game object that's in the UI to be the same name, the same name as what we have in the scroll view content, just so that we can kind of also visually see it on the side. Doesn't really serve any other purpose. This one needs to be switched to index, and this also needs to be switched to index. Then what we'll do here is we'll go create inventory item, and then we're going to pass through I. Okay, so that should keep it fairly similar. We want to do one thing, one more thing. So we want to start to interact with the stuff that we've built out here, which means this is really the place where we'll set this data. So, coming back over, we'll do that here. So we'll do scroll view content, get child. And you can do get component and children. I think I've shown like find object of type before where it kind of searches through the hierarchy. This is similar in that I can pass in a component, in this case, item controller. And it's going to get the component in the child. So the level, I can't push play. Let's see, I'm gonna show you. Here we are. Okay, so this is our prefab. This is essentially the copy of what gets created on the UI. And the child of that is item image. So what we're saying here with scroll view content get child index, that'll basically get us the reference of this for whatever one that we're working on. And then we say, hey, check your children. In this case, it would be all your children, but we just have the one. And find me this item controller. So this works good in the sense that we only have one and we'll only ever have one on each item. So with that, we'll do set item data, and then we'll do player inventory, inventory items. We'll pass in the index of the item, and then we want to pass in a reference of the player inventory controller, so we'll just say this. And the reason I kind of built it, you're probably thinking that's a little silly. I'm attempting to look forward a little bit. I could be wrong because I haven't built out the equipment side, so I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to go with the flow, but this is kind of my attempt to at kind of thinking that this script will be, this being the item controller script, will be used not really just in the inventory, but also when we look at the equipment in a few other areas. So I'm trying to make it a little bit generic in that sense. So I know it kind of looks a little bit weird as we're filling it out now. Okay, so that sets the data there. And then we need to do that method or the method that we referenced, and then we'll also have a helper method that we'll create. So first, we need to do the sell item, and then item to sell. So again, the store UI is going to call this and say, hey, you've sold an item. Here's the item you've sold. And so the player inventory details. Oh yeah, I guess I did call it that. Okay, I thought I named this something different. It's starting to get into my own head. Copper coins. So item to sell. Oh, right. I was thinking on the Notion, I was thinking a level up above where I was actually at. So player inventory details, just to give you a little bit of a refresher, because apparently I needed one too. That stores the list, and then we store the raw copper coins. And then that's, of course, also where we're doing the currency calculation. I was thinking, for some reason, a level above where that was at. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to set the copper coins. We're going to pull out the item that we're selling, and then we're going to get that value, the purchase price in copper, and we're going to say, yes, we do want the sell price reduction to happen at this point in time. The next thing we'll do is player inventory details, inventory items, remove, and then we're going to remove the item to sell. So we've added the money, and then we're removing the reference in the player's area for the sell item. The last helper method that we want is a way to clear the bag slot. So that's great, we've sold it, but now we need to actually remove it from the UI. So with that, we are now processing the transaction where the coins are getting updated on the player with factoring in the price reduction. And then we've removed the item from the inventory. So the next thing that we need to do is actually refresh the UI so that it's removed off of it. And to do that, we can do a method called clear bag slot. And we're going to reuse this method, which is why we're pulling it out. And basically, what we'll do is we're just going to clear out that sprite. So we'll do get child, pass in the index. So we're going to find where it is that we're working. And then we'll do get components. So we're going to get that image sprite. And then we're going to want to set this up to a public sprite, default bag sprite. So we'll set in the default bag so that that little background, I guess I don't have it open, but that little background image. And then this will just go back to it. And then I should mostly be it. Okay, so what we'll do is we're gonna just set the values so that I don't forget. So when I look at the player inventory, where is it? Actually, that's right, it's the interface icons. So I'm looking for the store UI controller script. And I have an error, so that's why the item takes no arguments. Item purchased, I think. There we go. Refresh. So I want to just give it its image so I don't forget later. I think it was this indent one. And then we'll save. We're almost there in terms of being able to test this. So the last couple of things that we need to do. So over in item controller, I've got our debug. That's fantastic. That doesn't actually do anything. So we can get rid of it and we can do P inventory controller. Clear bag slot. And then, so clear bag slot took an index. And the way that you can get the index of an item is actually Unity gives you like a little helper thing. So what we can do is we can do transform parent. So we're going to go up a level to its parent, and then we say get sibling index. And what that'll do is that'll get the index of where this item is in relation to its other siblings. So when I say we went up a level, we went up to basically where all of these live in it. I think we can push blind. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Let me show you. This will make a little more sense. So You can see we've got, what's that, 5 items all populated out. The names changed. If we look at item image, this is where the item controller is. So it pops up and then it's getting the siblings. So if we were clicking on the health potion, it would get, what's that, 2 for the index and then pass that along. So it's a really handy technique when you need to kind of maintain something's position. And then we want to change our logic. So we've got the write check. We've got the active self. The other thing that we need to do is make sure, we'll do the has item and has item. So that way, if we right click on one that doesn't have an item, we don't have this behavior click in or trigger, if you will. And then the other thing that we have to do that we haven't done is we haven't actually told the store UI that we want to make a purchase. So we can do that by store UI, get component, store UI controller, purchase item, and then item details. So we're calling that purchase method, passing in the item details. And then I think, that's about it. Let's see where we're at, what the behavior is. Let's go here. So if we right click, nothing happens. We left click, nothing happens. We click on our merchant, get our screen that pops up. We look like we have 3 items, sell a staff. So we can see before reduction, after reduction, so we can see that a different price was done. We scroll down, we can see the staff is here, and it's no longer in the player's inventory. And if we want to double check that this actually happened and that the UI is displaying what it's supposed to be displaying, we can see that there's 4 items in the player's inventory, so we don't have that 5th item anymore. And if we look at the merchant's inventory, we can again see that there's 4 items, which is pretty in line with what we would expect. So we can buy and we can sell. Now, here's where it gets a little bit weird. Let's restart it real fast. Or not weird, but buggy. So let's say we want to sell this mana potion. We right click. Now we have 4 items. Let's say we want to buy this staff. See how it replaced the item here? It's because we're operating on the index and we're not paying attention as to whether or not a slot has something. So that item should never have replaced this. It did what it was supposed to do and how we wrote it, but what we really want is for it to kind of know what slots it's okay to fill and what slots it's not. So we have to do a little bit of refactoring to make this work. And so to do that, we can do a few things. First, we actually need to clear out the item data. So we'll do clear item data down here. This is, again, the notion that we've done the purchase, we've sold it, so we need to clear all of the data out of this. Otherwise, our has item will continue to return true when there's really nothing there. And so the other way that we can fix this behavior that we're seeing and give it kind of more of a natural feel, if you will, is over in our player inventory UI. So we did this, create inventory item. Really what we want to do is a little bit of a different behavior. So if we pop this down a bit, we can loop. So we're going to loop through each one, each of the slots, in the scroll view transform. So when you do some sort of game object.transform, it'll actually loop through all of the children. So this is going to loop through each one of those bag slot things that we've created. And what we'll do as we'll check, say if the slot find child dot item image, oops, I don't know why I put a question mark there, dot get component, we'll do, what is that, item controller. So we're going to access the item controller dot has item. So basically, if our slot does not have an item, we're going to do some stuff. We'll do slot dot find child. Actually, you can just copy this mostly over. So we're going to do the sprite stuff. And I think, we're going to stick with the index. I guess I could have copied that whole line over. So that one's gone. And then let's do this. So we're just going to access the slot rather than tying it to that index. And then I guess. Sorry, I was just thinking. I think it's this. Item image, get component. Yeah. And then we will return out of it. So same thing, only difference is we're going to loop through the individual slots instead of tying it to an index. And I think this will work. Oops. Oh, oops. Why did it? Yeah, let's see. Okay, we are definitely getting nailed at here. Slot find child. Oh, why don't we do? Part of this can get reworked, I guess. I need to do item controller. That's part of it. And set item data. I'm actually not sure why it's yelling. I guess let's see. Oh, I think I know why. Actually, well, not this isn't going to be all of it, but I know we missed updating this guy here. So under the purchase item, so this wouldn't have triggered what we were looking at, but while I'm thinking about it, we had this logic twice. So the logic for player details inventory, the stuff that we moved out of start, we'd also kind of duplicated down below. And so really what we need is create inventory item. What do we have here? Let's do. So we have player count. Oh yeah, it's just the latest one. Which means it's this right here. Bing. Player inventory. So create inventory item. Ah. Was index, not the actual raw item. That would be why. Okay, so now that, at least when we go to do the purchase behavior, the right stuff will get initialized in terms of the name and the component. But like I said, I don't think that actually caused our problem. So let's see. See what we can see. One thing I know that I did kind of mess up on is I'm changing the wrong name. So if we remove that, let's give it a play, see what happens. I guess that seemed what caused it. So we see that we're working. We scroll and look. So let's do a buy. Let's do a sell back. Let's sell in the middle. Let's buy in the middle. We do see the behavior. So we can kind of see that we're shifting, we're selling, we're buying. Transactions appear to be happening. So that behavior looks good. The one that we're missing is the last kind of challenge, if you will, which is the destroy logic. So again, if the merchant screen is open, we're selling. If the merchant screen is not open, then we're going to assume that the player is trying to destroy their object. And so you could get super fancy with this and have a little prompt that comes up and says, are you sure you want to do this? And kind of run with it. But I'm not going to get quite so fancy. So I'm going to create a new method, destroy item. And then we'll do item to destroy. And then we'll do player inventory details dot inventory items remove. So we're just going to just flat out remove it. Item to destroy from the list. And then we need to switch our item controller a little bit. So that'll destroy it. You can tell a problem already. Which is that we do need to make sure that we're clearing it out. So we're going to have to change our logic in the item controller a little bit, because this is only ever going to trigger if we have the store item open, whereas the reality is we want to have slightly different behavior depending. So we're going to say you can enter this statement if you've right-clicked and there's an item that exists here. And then we'll just do a nested if statement inside here. So if the store UI is active, because we don't need these, then we're going to do this. And then we'll do else. We'll just assume, for now at least, that if it's not active, then you're destroying. So that's P inventory controller destroy item, and then item details. So we've cleared the item data from here. That's going to happen no matter what. And then we're also calling the clear bag slot and then passing in the index. So really the only change in the behavior is just, do we sell it and get some money, or do we just flat out destroy it? And I think that's actually about the last of what we needed to do to make this happen. So let's take a look. Actually, we're not gonna go in there, so we can take a look at what's actually happening in our data. So player inventory, we can see we've got two staffs. We destroy it, we now only have the one staff. And we can see too, I wasn't looking, but I'm pretty sure no money came. So let's take a look at the money, 219.67. We'll delete the hat, 219. So we can see that it is behaving. Let's go back to the merchant, double check that we're able to actually sell. So again, let's pay attention to the money. If we do the staff, oh no, I did not actually see that go up. Oh, this isn't refreshing. So we still need the money to be refreshed, and that's not happening. So let's take a look. Okay, so when we have, where is it? So we have this, where we update it. We don't actually call, remember we pulled out a method, what was that method called? Oh, update currency. We just need to call this. So we'll remove the item. Let's do. So we just need, I think that'll actually do it. So let's take a look. I'm almost out of stuff to buy. Let's buy a few things. All right, 217.88. There we go. Okay. So that is actually going to be it for this episode. I think it was a little bit different than what we've done because it was really more a little bit of concepts, but really just more pure logic, kind of flow process type of thoughts. So this is just really iterative. Hopefully it was useful in seeing how kind of I thought about a problem and approached it. As I say with all the challenges, this is not the only way to solve it. I actually had thought of a couple different ways in which I would have approached it, but I thought this one was kind of the more interesting one. So the file will be out on GitHub. Since this is a challenge, I'm not going to issue or say another challenge. Otherwise, that would be some weird, crazy challenge inception thing. But for the next episode, we'll just kind of resume on the project. And like I kind of mentioned before, I want to start to jump into this concept of drag and drop and to like work with an equipment system. So we'll probably end up focusing on that here shortly. Thanks for joining, and I'll see you next time.